The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls on a night where I was blown away by an hour of good old-fashioned Survivor tonight. Can't wait to talk about it here with this man, Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Wow, I'm reeling. I mean, what an incredible. I mean, you know, I was a Shan stan. I've been wanting Shan to win since episode one. I thought she would be like an all-time great winner for the show. Really exciting winner. I'm very disappointed, but it was also just a fantastic episode of television. So many of the relationships and the storylines and even the music cues paid off tonight in such a huge way. Really just, I mean, honestly, like it's all going to be downhill from here.
Yeah. You know?
Whatever happened, this has got to be the high water.
I mean, this was just like, so incredible. So many great conversations, important conversations, earned conversations from the different things that went on during the season. I mean, this is why we watch Survivor. The relationships that we've been following all season paid off. And it wasn't about the advantages tonight. It wasn't about the, you know, little like, you know, new wrinkles and twists. This was, you know, what we come for. We've loved this cast. We got to see them in, you know, full swing tonight. And this was just an incredible hour of television. And, you know, kudos to everybody involved because this was absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And just, to, I mean, it's such a classic, you know, Dalton Ross tweeted that this was just kind of a classic episode to see people torn between, you know, their loyalties and their personal feelings and beliefs and their strategic necessity and their hopes of winning the game, to see people make very different decisions, right? Yeah. To see, you know, Ricard choose, you know, the strategic necessity, see Liana choose personal loyalty, just, you know, really beautifully paid off moments all around. Just fantastic. Like a fantastic episode, not just of Survivor, but like of like any TV show, you know, to see so many emotions, so many difficult emotional and moral questions, and just like all of these strategic decisions, you know, paid off in one kind of beautiful bow.
So many inflection points for each person involved, and each person has like a set of criteria that they're using to make those decisions, which are very clearly laid out in the show. So I can't wait to get into it here with you tonight. We will speak with Shan coming up, but we'll have to wait until Monday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. I do love Thanksgiving, but it is screwing everything up here with this. So we will talk with Shan on Monday this week. That's what they've always done with the exit press on Thanksgiving week. So no Shan until Monday, when we will have our exit interview coming up with the latest person voted out of the game, Shan. And we have some really great podcasts coming up this week. I'm thrilled that we will have Jamal Shipman with us on Friday.
Oh my God, this week. That'll be a good one.
Yeah. So Jamal, he gave me a great interview during Winners at War. Can't wait to get his take on Survivor 41. And then another incredible guest, Shannon Gus, will join me. And she will, I'm sure, have so much to say about everybody's strategic decision this week and Shan going out. So Shannon Gus will be my guest on the Feedback Show over the weekend. So that's all going to be really, really fun to talk about this episode. So great guests for this week. And then Jenny Autumn will be my guest on the Survivor 41 Q&A coming up on Monday night. And don't forget, it's a wand off week.
Wow. Rob, every week I say it's a great lineup, and every week I'm over by your guests.
We're working hard over here. It's a wand off week. Get your wand offs in from Josh Wiggler. We'll be back. So make sure, I know there's a holiday coming up on Thursday, but get your wand offs in, and we will be over the weekend listening to maybe there will there be an influx of Shan wand offs? We'll see.
You gotta assume.
Okay. We posted a poll up on our Instagram tonight, at RJP Grams. See, we want to get the instant reaction. I thought this was the best episode of Survivor 41. We want to know from you. Go to at RJP Grams. Was this the best episode of season 41? Yes or no? Let us know. We'll tell you at the end of the show.
The merge episode was also very good.
Which merge episode?
The Tiffany boot was also very good. I thought this was. I'm voting. Yeah, can I share how I'm voting?
Sure.
Is that allowed?
Sure,
I'm voting. Yeah, I would be voting.
Do you agree with Stephen and I or not? Find out.
Stephen and me.
All right,
with Stephen and me.
Well, okay. All right, Stephen, we have so much to talk about. Where do we start here? I guess let me start with Shan. What a classy exit from the game. Great sport. I loved everything about her relationship with Ricard all through this episode.
Yeah. I don't even know where to take that. Do I talk about the Ricard or her classy exit?
I think that a big part of her exit was, just that relationship that we saw, that many of those conversations about the way that they were able to speak with each other throughout the episode tonight.
Well, in some ways, I wanted to ask if that was a mistake because, Ricard said a couple of times, we have never said to each other we're a final two. We know that we're going to have to fight it out at some point, and that's always been sort of the premise of this alliance. Now, in any other alliance, we would be saying, what a miss. We would be saying, why did you not promise him? It was like with Jonathan Penner in Philippines. We're saying, what, just promise them final four. Just make the deal, promise them final four. Who cares? You can figure it out later. Was it a miss? Was it a mistake for Shan not to have promised Ricard final two ever?
It's interesting. She felt like that she was her concern, which I think certainly is a valid one, that she felt like that a woman was not going to get the credit that a man was going to get. I kind of side with Ricard here. I feel like that Shan beats Ricard. I think that almost any different configuration that you would have. And so, I understand, I've gone back and forth of, was this the right move for Ricard? But I just keep coming back to, she has an idol, and I don't think he can beat her in the end. And so, this is kind of a crazy move, but I kind of feel like that it's the move you have to make and roll the dice.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying should Shan, and maybe this is like a counterfactual.
Should she have lied? Yeah, I didn't answer your question.
Ricard, because Ricard knows that he has to vote out Shan because he knows Shan is going to vote him out. He sees that Shan has the numbers. Ricard said maybe she's not voting me out now because she can't, but she can vote me out whenever she wants. And after this vote, when they were planning on voting out Erica, suddenly that foursome is in charge of everything.
I didn't think of it that way in terms of DTR of, what are we doing here? Do you feel like that it was a mistake for Ricard not to say, hey, look, we should be a final three from his perspective?
Well, results oriented thinking, it was definitely a mistake for Shan not to say that. I didn't come in thinking about this, but then you just talking about how they had this interesting relationship, how, throughout the episode, we saw them kind of, sparring in this De Niro, Pacino heat kind of way of one of us will get the other, at some point, but for now we're having coffee. Thinking about it, that's bad. You should tell the people who you're working with really closely. Oh yeah, it's us. It's us to the end. Obviously it's us to the end. And maybe they'll be super hurt at the end when you betray them, but they won't vote for you first.
It's a very interesting point. I don't think that that was the reason why Ricard turned on her. So I don't feel like that that was like a fatal mistake for Shan to not have done that. I mean, I kind of feel like that when she told him that Deshaun was gunning for him and they had that conversation about when Ricard was processing and he says to her, like, I don't understand why you're telling me this. I'm a little surprised that you did that. And they have this really great line where, at some point we're going to go for each other. But she said to him, not yet.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe just say, we're never going to go for each other. I will never come for you. You are my number one. This other thing is, flash in the pan for me. I'm going to write it out until you and I turn on them. Really though, isn't that the better move? Again, I did not think about this before this podcast. I had not come in thinking I would talk about that. But I think that might be her, we'll obviously find out from David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis why Shane lost. But off the cuff here, maybe that was why Shan lost.
Yeah.
Because she did not make that promise to Ricard.
Maybe. What do you think about, should Shan have told, when Liana told Shan, should Shan have told Ricard?
Yeah, I thought that was the right. I thought that was the right choice. I thought Shan. The thing is, I think Shan had done such a fantastic job of playing all of her allies off against each other, except with her inability to commit to Ricard in this way. Let's track that movement because it was so interesting. The way that the way the vote moved, I just kind of want to hit the beats piece by piece, better understand what it. The way it happens, right, is. Erica's the decoy boot or the original boot. Is that right? And then when Ricard wins reward, suddenly Danny and Deshaun say he's getting too much power. We've got to target him now. And so they bring Liana in on that.
Yes.
And Liana has, a crisis of faith. Do I stay with Danny and Deshaun or do I honor my bond with Shan? She tells Shan. Then does Shan go back to Deshaun? How did that come up with?
So Liana told Shan about about what the guys were planning to do. Shan went back and then told Ricard about what they were going to do. Then Ricard wins immunity. And so then they're going, and then the plan is going to go back to Erica, but that's when Ricard decides that he is going to want to vote for Shan at this vote.
Right, because he sees how easily she could, because she is it's so interesting, because of the way she chooses to save him or tell him that he's safe, he sees that he could be disposable to her at a later point in time.
Do you think that there was an issue with how she told him?
Well, again,
I thought the direction that it was going, that she seemed disappointed where when she told him that, okay, she's basically like, I'm saving your life in the game. And he's like, okay, I just need to process. And she seemed like disappointed, like, wait, hold on. I told you, I love you. That's nice. I think she felt like, okay, this is it. We're going to turn our wheels together and we're going to figure this out. And I don't know if it was that moment or if it was sort of like processing that, okay, well, I'm never gonna beat her. I needed to take a shot. I do think that just from an amateur psychologist's point of view, that when Shan told Ricard that they're coming for you, and he says, Why would you tell me this? It makes me feel like that if it was the other way around and Ricard knew that somebody was gunning for Shan, he would never have told her. And he would have gone along with it. So I think that this was something that was churning in Ricard's mind for some time that, okay, I just need to take my shot at Shan when the time is right. And whether that even goes back to last week with the Nasir vote, how long had the wheels been turning for Ricard that I need to take the shot at Shan sooner than later?
Well, it was, I mean, what is so cool about that moment, and I think it was such an interesting moment, I totally agree with you, because it was not necessarily a rational moment, right? When, as like rational thinkers, we see Shan approach Ricard and say this thing like, hey, I know they're out to get you. Now let's plan our counter move. And like, you know, rationally, I think, great, these two are going to go off and they're going to play their chess game and they're going to plan their counter move. But it did trigger something in Ricard. And mm-hmm. I wonder if what it was his sense of being disempowered in the game, because we've seen again and again for Ricard. And again, this is, you know, pure amateur psychology too. That what he wants most of all is to be that mastermind, is to get that credit. And in this episode, we saw him, you know, when I told Shan to play her extra vote, you know, when I did this, you know, he's really, and that's been a theme for him throughout the season of feeling that he doesn't get enough credit. So for Shan to come and say, oh, by the way, there's this plan to blindside you and I'm saving you, you know, you suddenly, whenever you're told that, by the way, that's scary. You're like, oh my God, like I thought I knew what was happening. I thought I had my finger on the pulse. I don't even know where my finger is. Like, it's definitely not up on the pulse, you know, it's somewhere else entirely. And I think that probably freaked him out. I think that typically freaks people out, but especially someone who so wants to be that person who's calling the shots, who's, you know, doing the puppetry, puppeteering the puppets.
Yeah.
That for Ricard, that was sort of a holy cow moment. I'm not the one running this game and I am a pawn who needs to make himself queen,
mm-hmm.
you know, by going to the other side of the board and yeah. leveling up.
It's just, this did. Was such an interesting vote. Cause I think that for me, like, I think that if Shan was willing to, you know, let Ricard go and not, you know, fight for him that I feel she's will obviously survive this vote. And then you would think that she's in a pretty good position. Like, I kind of feel like that if the four was able to stick together, and it really comes down to, would Deshaun have used Heather and Erica eventually to get out Shan? I mean, I think that's really the key question. He seemed unwilling to do that until then he found out that Shan was targeting him.
Right. Wait. So again, like, so how did it seem like that was a third rail was targeting him? Like, when did that?
Ricard told Deshaun.
Right.
Which I thought was also, I thought that was also a very risky and ballsy move from Ricard to go and say, hey, I need a fifth vote. I'm going to get Deshaun and I'm going to tell Deshaun that Shan and Liana wanted to target him.
Right. Sorry, I'm very underslept.
It's, you
know, but having a baby.
No, you know, there was a lot going on. This was a very rich episode.
So that was so interesting. It's that it really moved so quickly. And then what was so cool about it is then they get Erica, and Erica's like, well, wait, if Shan plays her idol, then I'm going home.
Yeah. And kudos to Erica, who I think is like a, you know, if not for Ricard, like a sneaky pick to get the fishy this week.
Yeah, I know. So Erica comes up with this plan to split the votes between Shan and Liana, which they then successfully do.
Yeah, but
and,
not
although
before
it almost triggers Danny.
Danny and Deshaun are almost like, wait, hold on, are we getting played? There's a million questions of that. The way that Shan got burned by Deshaun, was this the wrong move for, should Deshaun and Danny have pulled out of this move? Because they after tonight, I mean, they have now scorned Shan and perhaps Liana
an
irreparable degree.
Yeah, I mean, Liana was the other target. Of course she's going to be furious. You know, her number one ally was voted out without ever having told. I mean, like, that ends that alliance, right? Like, if you're Liana, your number one mission the next day is to vote out Danny and Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel like it's your, you know, your duty to your friend, you know, who it's obviously have a bond that's closer than, you know, friends. Yeah, I think
really for Danny and Deshaun now, it comes down to like a tug of war of can you get Erica and Heather to stay with you for the next vote?
Right. And I mean, amazing move by Ricard. And honestly, the split vote makes it such a much better move. Like, Erica really, you know, supercharged this move, because suddenly, you know, from Erica, Heather, and Ricard's point of view, and I guess Xander's too, you know, this totally fractures this alliance rather than, and it did seem like Deshaun and Danny, or certainly Deshaun, recognized that he would have to vote out Shan at some point, right? This seems to be all of the big players on the big players' minds very much, you know, with Shan in the game, nobody else can win. We have to get rid of Shan at some point. And so, yeah, I mean, what an interest. I mean, here's a question that I saw posed on Twitter. Was it a mistake for Ricard to go for Shan instead of, say, Danny or Deshaun? Because he's got Shan as an ally. You know, his concern with Shan is that he's her puppet and that he doesn't have the power in that relationship. But if he takes out Danny or Deshaun, suddenly that foursome is no longer as powerful, and Shan kind of has to come back to him.
It's interesting, but I kind of feel like that this is like the exclamation point on his game. Also, that Shan has an idol, and so she is like so supremely powerful here now at the final seven, moving forward with an idol. And I wrote in my notes that if Shan did not have an idol, do you think that she would have been targeted here?
That's interesting. I mean, it is interesting. Like, I mean, I think probably still, but it definitely, you know, in some ways it makes it more nerve-wracking to target her here, right? It's such a big destabilizing move. You know, obviously part of the appeal of voting her out in such a big blindside is to get rid of the idol, but that's obviously, that could easily be, you know, an argument against voting her out here, because like, wow, she could screw up the whole thing. Whereas we know that if we stack votes on Deshaun, he's not going to play an idol because he doesn't have one.
Now,
I mean, it's so interesting how the way idols function this season really changes the strategy, because they're not guessing, you know, they all think they know where the idols are. And maybe people are wondering, well, it was Nasir's idol, like put back into camp and we don't know about it. But I feel like, you know, when I played in Cambodia at any given time, you're like, this person could have one idol. There could be like 10 idols flowing around that I don't know about. And I'm sure that's only gotten more the case here. It actually, as much as we've complained about the advantages, the idols have pulled back significantly in their power.
Yeah, and they've actually been kind of nullified by neutered by the fact that they, you know, people know where they are, with the exception of Xander's idol, which moves forward again. And it's interesting that we had Nasir and Shan go out back to back, who both had the other two idols, yet Xander moves on again, does not have to play an idol. And it almost is feeling like one of the, you know, big stories of this season is Xander's idol. And just how long can he go without playing it?
Yeah, I just tweeted he has diamond hands. I mean, that guy is unbelievable. What?
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I know. Really, really hitting the memes. That guy has got, like, he pisses ice water, you know? Like,
what
he,
an ape.
The fact that he is able to not play this idol again and again, week after week, every single tribal council, he's, you know, got to presume he's a target here. Has been a remarkable story. And, you know, we got very little from Xander today, but that alone is just, you know, incredible too.
Stephen, one of the things I wanted to talk about from this episode is Liana and her decision. Now, as you set up earlier, you know, this was almost like a decision that was made outside of the game. I think she even said at one point in the conversation, like, this is like beyond the game with Shan. But Liana's decision to talk to Shan about this kind of destabilizes this whole thing. Yeah. And if Liana never says anything to Shan,
Still in the game.
I do believe Shan is in the game. It's ironic. It's a
Greek tragedy.
It is a Greek tragedy. It's very sad. And, you know, it's very hard for us to talk about, like, you know, the relationship that Liana and Shan had in the game. But it was so special that Liana was, you know, willing to go back and tell Shan this news, even though for Liana and her game, that this would have been a much better thing for Liana to have Ricard go out of the game, because I think that it would keep Shan, like, it was cutting off Shan's other options that were outside of the Black Alliance.
Do you think that part of the problem was how Danny and Deshaun pitched it to her, where they really kind of set it up as a blind side of Shan in a way.
Yeah. But she was, like, but Liana said was into it. She was excited. She said, this is my chance to differentiate myself. But then when Shan came back, it was, yeah, like, I can't do this to my friend.
Well, right. But that's why I'm just like, are you really doing something to, cause it's not, the plan was not to vote out Shan, right? In fact, like Liana said, are we going to vote out Shan? And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to vote out Ricard, but we just can't tell Shan. And I wonder if there was a way to say it where it seemed like, hey, this is to solidify our alliance with Shan. You know, I mean, I don't know. Again, like this is nitpicking, but like, you know, like could they have said, you know, this was a way for us to solidify our alliance with Shan and not said like, we can't tell. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they didn't make it seem like a big blindside of Shan.
How about this? Did Ricard goof with his selections for the reward that he should have taken either Danny or Deshaun with him, where if he leaves them back together, that's where this plan comes up with, hey, it's time to vote out Ricard.
Yeah, I mean, so first he picks Shan. He has to pick Shan. That's his number one ally. She hasn't been on a reward. It's been a whole thing. Then he picks Heather, which is obviously its own, you know, I mean, probably has limited strategic value. You know, maybe there's some strategic value splitting up Heather and Erica at this point.
I just think that's like a number in his pocket, I think, you felt like.
Or just like human choice, you know, someone who has not been on reward. We all care about each other out here. We're all playing hard, but we all care about each other. And so I'm going to do the nice thing. Mm-hmm. And then Xander, you know, also who hadn't eaten was his excuse. That seemed like a little bit of a miss, but I guess, you know, maybe, I mean, you've always been, you know, a real booster of like the Ricard picking up the straggler, you know, the Ricard Sestaminoing the game here.
I mean, he's been so fun to watch these last couple of weeks where that Ricard, would you say that is he in the best position now to?
I think so. I mean, unless like he's too big a threat and so they, you know, kind of boomerangs back on him. I mean, well,
the move for Ricard next week, agree or disagree, is now go after Deshaun.
Yeah, Deshaun, 100%. Because like Liana's going to be furious. She's going to be like, I'm a number here. Let's vote out Deshaun. Erica and Heather. I mean, the only thing is like, the only thing we don't totally know is, you know, how good is this relationship that Erica and Heather have with Deshaun? Because we've seen that they do have a relationship and Deshaun has pretty persistently kept them around, you know, but then, you know, Ricard and Erica seem to have a thing, right? From last week where mm-hmm. he worked with Erica. So it just kind of depends where Erica and Heather want to go. If they want to vote out Ricard next or if they want to vote out Deshaun next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is, such a wild ride for, this season.
If I'm Erica and Heather, I'm like, let's jump on board the Ricard train. And like, this is the final three, you know, like, and maybe that is the final three, Ricard, Erica and Heather. Like that would be, you know, a not impossible final three.
I wonder if they're better off, you know, sticking with Luba. I guess if they go to the end with like, say, Deshaun, everybody's going to say, oh, Deshaun was the leader of Lubu. He's brought these people here. So, Sophie was on the podcast this past week, and she was really hyping up Erica as a person that she felt, you know, good about. Do you think that Erica has a path to the end to potentially win this thing?
I mean, I think she could probably get to the end. I mean, I think part of the reason Sophie likes Erica is because like she's the Sophie of the season, you know, the sort of like more invisible, but very strategic, you know, thinker who's kind of like working at the margins of the game a little bit. But yeah, could Erica win? I mean, it just depends on, you know,
well, here's the move for Erica. Like, can you get out Ricard?
Right. But then, I mean, Erica has to go. Let's say Erica goes with Heather, but who's the third person that Erica is sitting there with? I mean,
We have to look at Xander. We have to start to look at Xander here at the final seven with an idol. And
but don't you think Xander would have just the ultimate underdog story of having been targeted basically every vote since the merge?
Well,
if he makes it to the end, doesn't he have like a great shot at winning?
I guess so, but Steven, looking at the makeup of the jury, are there a lot of Xander fans out there?
It just depends on how, you know, what they think of his face. Like, do they like his face or do they not like his face? That's where that's where it breaks.
And take a look at this jury. I mean,
Evie's voting for Xander. Evie's probably voting for Xander.
But this jury is like, you know, if you asked us like a couple of weeks ago about like, well, who are the contenders for the season? And you got a lot of them sitting on the jury bench now.
I mean, when you say look at the jury, honestly, I think more and more of like, Nasir probably will vote for Xander, right? They had their little
Nasir,
bro moment.
I think would be the first,
Evie,
the most
Nasir, Tiffany. Like right now, Xander's winning the jury vote.
I don't know if Tiffany is that.
Tiffany
that high
and Xander had like a real bond. That was like one of
they,
the
had past tense. I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't you know betray her in any way.
When I talked to her on the exit interview, she seemed a little burned by Xander. The fact that what does Tiffany know?
Maybe, you know, it could be a smokescreen, you know, she doesn't want, but, you know, I would imagine that it would, I mean, you know, they all seem to really respect Erica as a strategist. You could certainly see Shan voting for Erica. Mm-hmm. You know, she's said over and over again how strategic Erica is. You could certainly see, you know, Danny voting for Erica after he said that, you know, voting out Erica would be a bigger move than voting out Shan. I don't know. I mean, that's not totally credible from where I'm sitting, but yeah, you know, who knows?
I want to give also some credit to Danny tonight, who, you know, we've been sort of like sleeping on a little bit all season long of like, okay, well, does he have a resume? You know, if he gets to the end, am I going to give him any credit? But at least, you know, tonight, the Ricard blindside was, you know, his big move. He was the one who sold Deshaun. Oh, we got to take out Ricard.
I mean, throughout, Danny has been, you know, one of the most incredible, you know, most, you know, dominant voices in, you know, throughout the game, when and also such a lovely voice. Like, what an incredible mm-hmm. voice. It's a pleasure mm-hmm. to listen to him speak. But really, don't you think? I mean, he's got such a beautiful like baritone.
I haven't even thought about it in those terms, but maybe,
oh my God,
yeah,
it's what's wonderful. You know, he typically gets his way too. You know, Deshaun has been, you know, a little more erratic, right? Like last week he was like, well, maybe we make a move now. Maybe we vote out Liana. And Danny's like, nope. And then Danny gets his way. Here he wanted to vote out Ricard. I mean, he'll often be the first person to suggest the strategic move that ends up getting executed. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason, he seems like less of a big character than a Deshaun does, but he doesn't necessarily seem like less of a strategic force in the game, at least not to me.
Can we go back to the beginning of the episode where Deshaun is talking with Erica about potentially blindsiding Shan, and Shan like asks him about what he was talking about with Erica? I thought Deshaun was a little unconvincing in his conversation with Shan.
We were talking about the idol, and
he seemed like that he didn't even know what idea she was talking about. She just she wanted to do something with Xander or something.
Yeah, not totally convincing. I agree. It was not the best lie.
But he didn't even really deny that they were talking about getting rid of Shan.
Well, didn't he at one point be like, we're not talking about getting rid of you? Didn't he actually deny that at one point in that conversation? Like perhaps verbatim? No? Okay.
Well, I don't know. I didn't have the exact transcript of what they said, but it did spark a very interesting conversation, and one that we saw quite a bit on Big Brother this season, which was about, you know, this idea of, you know, Shan and Deshaun having to wrestle with, you know, should we be doing what's best for us individually, or, you know, should we be looking out for what is best for, you know, in their words, the culture, you know, in terms of the, you know, staying together for the sake of the Black community. And that's just like a really compelling, moral discussion that, you know, we're getting to witness play out in this season.
Yeah, and it's so powerful to think about. I mean, you know, we talked earlier about that tension between, you know, people's sense of duty to their friends and their, you know, the whatever, like versus their, you know, the alliances versus the strategic necessity of voting someone out. But to have that be, you know, even further complicated by this idea of having to represent your community, you know, on national television, I mean, it was really incredible. And, you know, For someone like me who has, you know, no conception of that to watch, you know, I certainly didn't have any sense of that when I was playing, you know, obviously, you know, I didn't think, you know, I was doing it for all the Jewish nerds out there. And so like to have that level of pressure on your game, mm-hmm. you know, and that sense of responsibility. I mean, Survivor is already such an impossibly difficult experience. And I mean, it was both really interesting and moving and, you know, really daunting to think about, you know, how difficult a decision that must be.
I'm sure, an incredibly like complicated decision or conversation that they're trying to work out. And also just the pace of play where, you know, that had there been like 72 hours between each of these tribal councils, I think you have more time to talk this through. But, you know, you're not even done processing that last vote. And now it's time to figure out what you're going to do next and what's best for my game and what are the people at home thinking and what's everybody saying about us. And it's just so much going on.
Yeah, it's so much to think. I mean, exactly. And you're even like, even when you're like, you know, even without those considerations, think about, you have all those, you know, so many of those levels of like, what's, you know, what am I going to look like in the edit? How am I presenting myself to Jeff? How am I presenting myself to the jurors? How am I presenting myself to, you know, the other tribe members? And then just to add that, you know, such important and heavy complication onto that. I mean, I really have so much respect and just really, like I said, like it's like awe and, you know, like not sympathy, but like, just like, it seems like such a heavy thing to have to wrestle with on a, you know, mm-hmm. every day.
You know, Stephen, I would be remiss to not ask you while we have you here tonight, you know, the conversations between Shan and Ricard about, you know, their, you know, working relationship. You obviously, you know, we think about the other great pairs in Survivor history, and certainly, you know, at some point in that list, we get to you and JT. And did you ever have those types of conversation ever?
Yeah, I mean, there was actually a deleted scene. It's one of my favorite scenes from the show. I think I even have it like on my YouTube of like it was like day 17 or 18. And I was like, you know, I'll never be able to beat you. And it's like, no, everyone loves Steven. You're going to be able to beat me. And I was like, no, I really will never be able to beat you. It's like, no, we don't know. Well, we got to like, you know, get there first. And I was like, yeah, that was a really innocent, more innocent time though. You know, Survivor 18, it was not at all as self-aware as these guys are in Survivor 41. I mean, you know, it was like really drop the eight, keep the one in terms of our naivete. It was like season one in terms of our idiocy. And it does. I do think that it's one of the interesting things to me about every strategic conversation. You know, there are some people you have to say, you know, you'll beat me because that makes them feel good. But there are other people that you have to say, I'll beat you because that makes them believe that you will go to the end with them. And not to make this all about me, but like I screwed up in Survivor Cambodia by telling Spencer Bledsoe that I thought he would beat me at the end, because then he was like, oh, then Fishback's not going to take me to the end, so I have to get rid of him. And I do feel like there was a little bit of that with the Shan Ricard thing, you know, where for both of them, really, to say you're going to beat me at the end, they're both like signaling to each other, like we have to vote each other out at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fascinating discussion of like what is like that perfect marriage of, you know, you think that you want a person who they think that they can beat you, but you think that you can beat them. And, you know, it's, you know, hard to find that.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And it also is so situational. I remember I remember actually like Russell on Heroes versus Villains having a conversation with Jerry Manthe where he said like, I know that you'll, you know, that I'll beat you in the end or something, like, you know, and that Jerry like choosing to ally with him because of that, you know, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. that's so situational. Yeah.
And famously, I told Sandra that I know I can beat you in the end. And Sandra responded, I don't know about that. Steven, let's take a look at some of our questions here from time. But first, our poll results. Okay, was this the best episode of the season? Okay, we put our thumbs on the scale, but only 74% said best episode of the season.
What do you think? The merge episode is very strong with the whole thing with like the advantage, the knowledge is power advantage, and the
yes, that was very good. But this to me just had the emotional gravitas that that other episode, you know, that had big moments, but this was just I thought this was Survivor at its finest.
Yeah, throughout the whole episode, I just so many different, you know, and again, like, you know, Liana on the one hand choosing to you know, stick with her relationship with Shan, you know, conversely, you know, you have Deshaun choosing to go against Shan. You know, it was funny though. Deshaun's like final choice of like Shan like dared to like, you know, like betray me, when we're like he betrayed her and she found out about it and then, like, you know, betrayed him in response.
But
and,
yeah. But it's almost like that for Deshaun. I feel like there was like a third rail he wasn't willing quite to do. And then when Shan found out about what he was going to do, she was willing to go there. And then when he found out that she was willing to go there, then for him and Danny, it's like, ah, that's it. You know, we're out. So, you know, it was just like, you know, escalating stakes between this group.
Well, but didn't all Deshaun know that Shan had told Ricard that she was going to, so like Deshaun comes up with a plan to vote out Ricard, you know, behind Shan's back. Shan finds out about that, tells Ricard. Ricard tells Deshaun, oh, Shan told me about your secret plan to vote me out. And Deshaun feels betrayed by Shan for having told Ricard about his plan to betray
her. So I'm just going back to my notes. Ricard needed Deshaun as a fifth vote. I think that I don't remember what exactly he told Deshaun. I don't have it written down, but I don't think
he told Deshaun that Shan was planning to vote him out. I think he just told Deshaun that Shan told him that Deshaun was going to vote him, Ricard, out.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's a really quite an interesting game of telephone there, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a look at it another time. I'm sure the chat is going to be jumping in here. All right, let's take some questions. See, why don't you get us started with Cameron?
Cameron wants to know, wasn't this a terrible move for Ricard? Take out his most loyal ally who told him Danny and Deshaun were gunning for him. Well, I think there's something really compelling about that. You know, that, you know, Shan is someone who's loyal to him, someone who's a source of information to him. And when Shan is gone, he loses that person.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this was a bad move for Ricard. I think that he like planted his flag on the game. We're down to the final seven now at this point. He needs to have his own game. And, you know, he was able to vote out Shan in a way where Shan was not salty with Ricard. I mean, I'm taking it at face value when she said, oh, Ricard, you have my jury vote, and not like one of these things where it's like, oh, I'm going to really screw this guy over and say I'm going
to. Well, are you sure? Because like that, like to say that in front of everyone, like that does put a target on that person. I mean, that sort of happened, I feel like, with Victoria and Gavin.
Yes, but was it intentional? It can happen, but did she intentionally? I will ask her in the exit interview when you said Ricard, you have my vote. Were you trying to throw shade at him?
Yeah, I don't think she was, but that might have had the effect of throwing.
Sure, certainly can. So Ricard is able to make this move, not really have the blood on his hands, and to be able to like really, you know, like if Shan is blocking him, she has an idol and he can't beat her. Then I almost feel like that this was a move he had to make. If not now, then soon. And you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think it was the right move, too. And I think like if you look at the state of the game now, you know, it's totally open. And, you know, especially because Erica kind of supercharged the split vote, where Liana really is going to be blindsided and probably very hurt. I think that was a really strong move. Has there been like, who was the last player who just, I guess Devins, I guess it wasn't that long ago. Like I was thinking like, but even, I think Shan is even a bigger player than Devins, you know, in terms of like how completely she's dominated.
Even bigger than Rick Devins.
Well, maybe not.
I'm sorry.
Devins dominated the airtime. Did Devins dominate the strategy? Maybe he did. Like, especially, I'm trying to think like.
Biggest survivor character since Rick Devins. Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to think of who has dominated like the game in the way that Shan has. Like, you know, I was thinking like Tony and Kagayan, but probably Rick is really the.
In fairness to our friend Rick, who we love, I wouldn't say that he was dominating the game. He may have been dominating the airtime in the confessionals, but I would not say that he was truly.
Chris Underwood was dominating.
Truly
the game.
Dominant. David versus Goliath was all over the place. I mean, you know, Survivor 39, it's hard to say, like, you know, have a, there's a lot of like, co-leading with, Tommy and Lauren, you know, hard to say anybody in Winners of War. It's an interesting conversation.
I think like since Tony would like set the pace in Kylo, I really think she is just one of these, you know, epic characters in
an all time character who I'm sure, I have no doubt, will have a second opportunity to play.
This game. Call her now if you're, you know, planning on going back. My God, you know, start tweeting at her now.
How wild was it when she was the Shantham returned, and then Heather's like, "What song is that?"
That was such a great moment. And especially knowing that that was the final moment of the Shantham, you know, like all of that buildup of the Shantham suddenly, like, you know, almost like pays off, not pays off necessarily in this moment, but what's so interesting about it was that, you know, there was this such a difference between the Shan of the pre-merge who, you know, jauntily was whistling this tune, and the Shan of tonight, who, you know, was almost, you know, was paranoid, was confused, was like really, you know, reduced in a lot of ways.
Why do you feel like that she was, that she got, was paranoid?
Maybe not paranoid, but she seemed like, you know, much more troubled in that moment, I guess. You know, when she used to sing the Shantham, you know, it was sort of this like, hey, here's my fun song. And it seemed more like troubled and paranoid is the wrong word, but she seemed like more like concerned and troubled and like, you know, the weight of the game had
maybe that's like her processing music.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But it was just interesting to me, like, to see, you know, we knew we all knew what it was, and like, she didn't have to explain it again. And it was just such a cool moment. It had so much build up to it. And then, you know, that was the end of the Shantham, right? That's where, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was, I thought, very funny where it's like, you know, we're getting this amazing conversation with, you know, Shan is talking to Rickard, and they're having like this great, like, you know, thing about their relationship in the game. And then imagine being the person, like, you're filming that. And then you're the other person who's filming, like, Heather and Xander.
I like that pizza. Like,
yeah, that was good. Okay. Charlene says, are Danny and Deshaun protecting Xander? Why and how is he still here? Steven, do you think that there something to that? Because I tend to think that there are just shinier objects that people keep going after instead of Xander.
Right, because Xander has always seemed like the next guy to go. At some point, he's like, we don't even need to bother with it. Like, and I really do think that they thought that he would play his idol. Like, it would have been a very sensible move if you're Xander in this spot. And they had a plan for Xander, right? They said, don't anybody tell Xander a name, and then Xander will need to play his idol. Well, now, obviously, Rickard ended up telling Xander a name. And, you know, Rickard or Xander made a lot of noise about how he was going to play his idol, and he referred to it a few times, and then he didn't. Yeah.
You know, I think there is something to what you said earlier about, you know, Diamond Hands Xander, where that he's so cool and chill. Like, he doesn't have like sort of like and I always feel like it's like the Troyzan energy of like, hey, I'm at the bottom, I'm scrambling, I'm making things happen, I'm making moves, you know, like, you know, you think you can get me out, you can't. He just is like flatline, like almost like seemingly at times like no pulse, and I think that plays to his favor.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know, we also in season 38 gave credit to, you know, I think Lauren and maybe Kelly too, for every week not playing their idols until they were voted out with idols.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it only goes so far. Like, you're, you know, the cool, the ice cold blood, you know, it's got to like, temperature's got to rise at some point.
Got it. Okay. Philly in Florida has a question for you.
All right, Philly wants to know, is it bad strategy to discuss who you want to evict before the immunity challenge?
Philly in Florida, first off, we don't use the E word in Survivor.
What?
Who you want to evict?
Oh.
who do you want to vote before the challenge? Okay. Steven, is that a cardinal sin in Survivor?
Yeah, what was the question?
To talk about who you want to vote out before the immunity challenge.
Because you basically ensure that they win the challenge.
Well, I mean, obviously in that's Shan's case, thing. I mean, she wanted to, I'm sure she was happy that Rickard won the immunity challenge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, typically immunity challenges are the same day as tribal council. There's often not as much time to get a plan together after the immunity challenge. Mm-hmm. You have to have a plan before you go to the tribal, to the immunity challenge, and you have to have a backup plan typically. Yeah. The typically we only see it be so definitive when that person wins the immunity challenge, because it, you know, it makes, gives good emotional stakes. It like scuttles the plan. You know, to some degree, it's an editing thing, but no, you absolutely need a plan before the immunity challenge.
And I suspect this is probably a 48-hour cycle. The reward challenge was, you know, the first day, then Ricard won, picked those people. They went for pizza. They went overnight. That's when the plan comes in. They come back the next morning, and then Liana grabs Shan, tells her about what the guys were talking about from the day before. Shan tells Ricard. They go to the immunity challenge, and then we have the afternoon, and I would think that this was just a 48 hours in Survivor.
Yeah. You know, Gary, my lazy cat, asked, you know, mentioned on Twitter, like, do you think a 26-day season actually creates better Survivor? I mean, you know, what's interesting is we are close to the end. It's hard to, you know, to generalize from one season, but we are close to the end, and people are, you know, they still got a lot of gas in the tank in a way that, you know, it's day 19 or whatever, day 20, you know, on day 30, people are more tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So definitely the pace of play is faster in the shorter season. I said all along, I did not think that to the viewers at home, it was going to ultimately, you know, impact their enjoyment of the season.
Yeah. I mean, have you felt like, I mean, it's only weird when like someone mentions the day, you know, yeah. But other than that, have you felt, no. You know, yeah, me neither.
Okay. Adam K wants to know, how is Danny, the literal pro athlete, the only person who hasn't gotten a vote for?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is a testament to Danny's game.
Yeah. Well, I think that he is probably seen as the more passive player in the duo between him and Deshaun. So I think that Deshaun is probably the one who is.
That could be a great spot, though. I mean, like, you know, like in some ways, Danny is actually got the best position left in the game where, you know, he's not a big target, mm-hmm. but he also has, you know, a lot of strategic, you know, credibility.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chicago Mike has a question, Stephen.
Chicago Mike wants to know, who deserves more credit? Ricard, who made set the plan in motion, or Erica, who crafted the perfected vote split to execute the Shan vote?
Well, I think that Ricard deserves all of the credit in taking out Shan. I think that Erica's, the credit that she deserves goes into, you know, further destabilizing the Liana from Danny and Deshaun, and also like, you know, saving her own skin in case Shan ended up playing the idol.
Yeah. I mean, and it really did look very briefly like Erica might have, you know, played a little bit too hard, right? Like that it might have behooved her to just, you know, keep her head down and not say anything. You know, when she went to Deshaun and Danny and suggested the vote split, suddenly there was a chance that the whole thing wasn't going to go through. Now, how much of that was just, you know, creating doubt for television versus how much of that was really fear on Deshaun and Danny's part? Like, I don't know, but I mean, did any, obviously it worked out, but did any part of you still think, you know, she did a little bit too much?
Who, Erica?
Yeah.
I mean, that thought did not cross my mind. I think that the bigger question for me is just like, was this ultimately good for Deshaun specifically?
Right. Is voting out. I mean,
was tonight a net positive or a net negative for Deshaun?
That's a tough one. I mean, I honestly think it's probably going to be a net negative. You know, cause like, you know, I think it's a net negative. What do you think?
I think that it's tough for Deshaun. I really feel like that his only path to the end is, can he get back in with Erica and Heather to, you know, rebuild this? And like for Deshaun, I think that for Deshaun, his mission is now get out Ricard. For Ricard, his mission is get out Deshaun. And who benefits? Xander.
Xander for the win. I mean, not. I don't actually want him to win, but I think that might lead Xander to win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like. I guess I'm rooting for Ricard at this point. I don't know. I mean, like that was such a big move for Ricard. I've loved Deshaun. I mean, they're all great. I've loved Danny throughout this. I mean, Liana would be super fun. I don't think it's impossible. I mean, you know, for her to like pick up Shan's edit or Shan's storyline or whatever you want to call it.
It's basically like the Natalie Anderson where, right, you know, Jeremy's gone home and now her story is I have to avenge Shan. I'll never forgive these people for what they did to Shan.
That actually would be a very compelling, you know, arc for Liana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Arya Stark.
Yeah, I would love to see that. That would be so fun. I think this was not a great move for Deshaun, because previously it seemed like he was in he and Shan obviously were, you know, sort of had a duel for who had the most, you know, influence. You know, Shan obviously had her relationship with Ricard, and, you know, was super tight with Liana, but Deshaun maybe had better relationships with Erica and Heather. And obviously Danny seemed to have a thing with Xander a little. So it seemed like, I kind of thought like Deshaun might have even have had the edge in that. So, and if Shan was willing to take out Ricard later, Deshaun could take out Shan, right? Because Shan, like, we don't know how good Shan was with fire. It wouldn't have been crazy to hope to get Shan out kind of right before that final vote.
Okay, let's take one last question and then start to wrap up. Okay, Susie wants to know, why do you think Shan was more mad at Deshaun than Ricard? Why do you think that Ricard thought this was the right time to make this move? Okay, so we talked about why Ricard thought it was the right time to make this move. But for Shan, why do you feel like she was more mad at Deshaun than Ricard?
Well, I think we saw some of it, right? We saw that, like, she and Ricard kind of had this explicit agreement. Like, you can vote me out. You know, at some point, one of us is going to have to vote the other out. Whereas, you know, there seemed to be, you know, like we talked about a little bit, there was a much more of a real personal and even cultural stake for Shan in that All Black Alliance that she was really committed to.
Mm-hmm. And you know, going back to that conversation from the start of the episode, yeah, I think it has a lot to do with that. And I feel like that, you know, that was just basically, there was like a cold war between the two of them. And then once, you know, Shan felt like that it was a little bit like a he said, she said of who struck first. And that in Shan's mind, like the move to go behind her back and take out Ricard was just enough to, you know, set off this war between the two of them. All right.
I kind of think Deshaun struck first too. I think the plan to take out Ricard was the plan to, like,
mutually assured destruction. Member. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, who do you think struck first? I think Deshaun struck first.
You know, it's, we didn't have exactly this in Big Brother, but there came time to a point where, you know, people like certain players wanted to protect their allies getting towards the end of the game with the cookout. And there were other players that felt like, no, we need to, you know, it's time for those allies to go because, you know, we don't want to give the players different viable options to be able to. So, you know, I'm sure it is, you know, a complicated situation. I think that probably, I think Shan is right to feel like that Deshaun was struck first.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Han Solo and Greedo of a new generation. All right.
That's exactly how I was thinking about it too.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Shipman coming up on Friday. We will talk with Jamal. We'll take your questions. It's an incredible week to have Jamal with us. Can't wait to talk with Jamal. That's going to be on Friday this week. Got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. And then we'll talk with Jamal on Friday. And then over the weekend, Shan and Gus will join me. Get your feedback questions in for Shan and Gus. Just, present company excluded, one of the best people to talk Survivor game with. Shannon Gus is going to join us over the weekend for that one. No Survivor Global this week. Shannon's taking the week off, she's going to give us her Survivor thoughts on the feedback show. And the Survivor Wiggle Room is going to be back one a month. It's the November Wiggle Room. So we will have, I'm sure, lots to talk about with Josh Wiggler and Casey Kasem and Wanda on the Survivor Wiggle Room. Wiggle Room at robinswebsite.com to get your submissions in. And then on Monday, I will speak with Shan, find out everything that she was thinking about this very wild episode of Survivor coming up on our exit interview.
Wow.
How about that?
A week.
Monday
a
night, week. Jenny Autumn will join me. We'll take your questions with the patrons of Rob's podcast, robswebsite.com/patron. If you want to make sure you don't miss that, and you can call in and ask your questions for myself and Jenny Autumn coming up Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Then why blank lost? Steven talked about it already. What happened? What did Shan do wrong? Where was her mistake? Find out. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis will tell us this weekend. Then we'll have on the B&B. Oh, Brian Cohen is taking a break from covering two seasons of The Challenge.
Triple B.
Yes. With Bloom, Boris, and Brian coming up on the B&B this week. So be on the lookout for that. And, of course, the Survivor Stock Watch is going to be back. I believe that's going to be noon on Friday. Taryn Armstrong and Lita Brillman will be with you live for the Survivor Stock Watch. Should be a fun week to hear the ratings on all the players. Who's up, who's down on the Survivor Stock Watch. Stephen, did you catch the new season of Tiger King?
No. Is it good?
Oh, you know, it's not as good as the first one. But I did talk about it with Bryce Isaiah and my co-host Chappelle on Nothing But Netflix this week. Very funny podcast with Bryce and with Chappelle on the Nothing But Netflix.
Wow. That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Of course, so much going on over in our Patreon podcast feed as well. We will be back Tuesday night with our Patreon cast, taking questions from the patrons, Survivor 41 Q&A, robinswebsite.com/patron to become a part of our Robins Podcast Patreon community. Over, Stephen, we're working on some Fishback merch.
Yes.
Let me just say it's in the works. But in the meantime, we've got plenty of other merch available. robinswebsite.com/merch. I know everybody is comes looking for it this time of year. We got a special discount for all of our listeners. 10% off robinswebsite.com/merch when you use the promo code RHAP2021. Patrons, make sure to check your Patreon account. There might be a little something extra on Patreon. How about that?
Oh, nice.
Yes. Wow. All right. Of course, for your Black Friday shopping needs, click on our link, robinswebsite.com/Amazon. It's a great way to support the podcast and use our associate link. And we get a small commission when you make a purchase using our link at robinswebsite.com/Amazon. And you don't pay any more. We always appreciate that. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube to make sure you don't miss any of our YouTube content, or subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast at robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Subscribe. And of course, be sure to follow us on social media at Robin's Podcast, at RHAP Grams, and at Robin's Podcast on TikTok. Steven, also a little bit of trivia about tonight. This is the final podcast that I will be recording here in my temporary home here.
I moved
here to Raleigh, North Carolina 5.5 months ago.
Wow.
I've been living in an apartment and this is the final podcast that I will be recording in this temporary home. We'll be moving out of the apartment. And
Nicole finally kicked you out, huh?
Yep, that's right. No, we will be officially moving to our house on Thursday.
So exciting. I can't wait to see the new studio. I can't wait for you to, you know, spread your wings and fly like the eagle. You are?
Yeah.
Butterfly, like the butterfly you are, the ghost of my beloved
dead relatives. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a mixed metaphor. Yeah. We'll go with it.
So we are very excited. So a lot of moving pieces here behind the scenes at Robin's Podcast. Literally.
Yeah. Well, that's very exciting, Rob. I'm so excited. I'm really happy for you to be in the new home. It's
okay, and then we're ready for you to come visit.
Yeah, not so far anymore. Not now, at least on the same coast.
Yeah, we're on the same coast. Okay. Yeah, so I will be breaking down this entire setup after tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls. And then when you hear me with Jamal, I will hopefully be in a new location or something has gone terribly wrong.
So you really are, you know, the smartest guy around, about to break it down.
Yeah, about to break it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, what's coming up for you? I know you're the Thanksgiving holiday. Are you a big Thanksgiving guy?
I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. You know, 400th Thanksgiving. That's wild. 1621, first Thanksgiving.
Oh, so I didn't know. I was like, 400th Thanksgiving. Where?
Yeah, in America. Mm-hmm. In 1620, the pilgrims arrived in America. And 1621, they first Thanksgiving, you know, Massasoit, the sachem of the Wampanoag tribe, you know, helped these, you know, hardy explorers survive. And then starting in about 1630, you know, they repay them with insane violence and horrible discrimination and land reclamation. So,
wow.
But there was a brief moment when that was not the case. And I also love the yams, the candied yams. That's actually, so it's hard not to love the candied yams.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Stephen, this was
fishy to Ricard. Sam wants that.
Okay. Yeah. I think you have to. Yeah. Okay. Well done, Stephen Fishback. We'll be back next week, and believe it or not, we're going to be the in December.
Wow!
Can you believe it?
No, I really can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we will pick things up after next week's Survivor, and we'll see what happens with the final seven. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.